Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
As cigarette smoking seems to be on the decline, there's another method of nicotine use that's managed to hook today's youth, and we're hearing more and more about it in the media. We're hearing about deaths related to it, and as parents, it's pretty scary to hear about these kids being hospitalized today. We're talking, obviously, about vaping. And my guest is Dr. Karen Wilson. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Wilson, for the parents that may not even know what it is, first, let's set the stage. What exactly is vaping, and what is in the vape products?
So thank you so much for having me on. And I think that the products themselves can be variable. They've been making what were called electronic cigarettes very much in the beginning, since the 2000s. But only in the last couple of years have they come out with these devices that have been manufactured in a way to make them look like flash drives, like little cool pieces of technology. And they've really increased their marketing to teenagers and young adults. And what these things are specifically are a mechanism where you have a battery and you have a little tube of some kind of a liquid, and this liquid can contain nicotine. The ones that have nicotine usually have a propellant or humectant like propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin, or you can also have THC, and those are typically made with hash oil, which is the marijuana leaf that has been boiled and created put into this oil so that it can be vaporized or aerosolized in these contraptions. And what people don't really realize is that, you know, this was marketed originally as something that created a harmless water vapor that would just deliver some safe nicotine to your lungs, when in fact what this is doing is actually aerosolizing these chemicals. They create other toxic particles as well as little tiny particles of little tiny physical particles that can injure and inflame the lungs.
Wow, that was a great explanation. And as a parent and as an exercise physiologist myself, I personally at first was like, wow, maybe this is a great way to help people quit smoking. It's water vapor. Or, you know, if you had to do something, maybe this would be a preferred something to do. But that's not really the case. And now we're hearing more and more about deaths and lung issues, and kids are ending up in the hospital. What is going on?
And this is a big question mark for us, and the CDC has been looking at this very, very closely. We started hearing about these cases over the middle of the summer. So far, as of today, they have 805 cases reported from 46 states in the Virgin Islands, as well as 12 deaths in 10 states. So this has become an explosive problem that we are seeing. What we do know so far is that they are trying to get the products that these kids are and these young adults are using to test them. So far, the majority of the cases have been where the person has been using a THC-containing product, but there are cases where people have been using only a nicotine-containing product, too. Many of them have been associated with what we think of as bootleg cartridges or cartridges that kids may buy off a friend that they bought from a guy at the corner of the street versus going to a corner store or a vape shop where somebody might have spent a little bit more time in the manufacturer. So we don't know exactly what the cause is yet, but this does seem to be a big increase in the number of events since before this started to happen. Although we do, like I keep hearing colleagues who say, well, you know, I had this kid 6 months ago, and you know, now that I think back on it, maybe this was what it was. So I think we probably were undercounting it before, but it does seem like there's something new going on.
Well, it does, and it's scary when you hear more and more. Somebody else was hospitalized, somebody else. So what does vaping do to our lungs? If it is water vapor, why are we thinking that this is now so dangerous? Does it do the same thing to our lungs as smoking a cigarette would do? What is it doing?
So we're still learning some of that. So I want to make sure that your listeners understand that what this is not water vapor. So, you know, water vapor is something that you might get on a nebulizer machine or in a shower. This is an aerosol. It's a little bit more like inhaling, like, hairspray.
Yikes.
And what... Yeah, right? So it contains chemicals. Not only does it contain nicotine, but also other chemicals that can be carcinogenic or associated with inflammation. And what we think it's doing is it goes into the lungs and it creates an inflammatory response. And what we're seeing in these cases is a fairly typical response to a lung injury where you inhale some kind of a chemical and you get like a chemical pneumonitis, or in the case of some of these cases, lipoid pneumonia, where you inhale some lipids like the hash oil, you might get lipoid pneumonia. The other thing that I worry about is, you know, this is just the short-term cases we're seeing. What would this cause over a long period of time? If a teenager starts using it and uses it for 20 years, what is that going to do to our lungs? And we really have no idea, because they haven't been out that long and we just don't know.
Well, we sure don't, and that's part of the problem. So now, I mean, states are taking action, and Juul even came out and said that they were going to stop their advertising or, you know, their marketing to children. What do you want parents to know about what they're seeing, and what it's kind of confusing and nobody quite knows? And how do we know if our kids are vaping anyway?
Well, so many good questions, Don.
Yeah, sorry to throw them all at once.
No,
but
that's okay. And if I forget one, please remind me. But, you know, I think the first thing to remember is that we've been sounding the alarm about e-cigarettes and their promotion to children for at least 10 years. You know, this is not something that has gone unnoticed by people in the health community and in the tobacco control community. And we've been advocating for FDA since the regulations were first, you know, since they first got deeming authority over tobacco in, you know, 2008 or something like that. So we've been advocating for them to regulate electronic cigarettes more strictly. They finally said that they were going to, but they still haven't done a very good job of stopping the marketing to kids and stopping the flavors, which is what we had recommended years ago. So now they're coming out, and all of a sudden it's this major crisis, and everyone's saying, "Oh, now we should, you know, get rid of all the flavors, get rid of all the e-cigarettes," and I think that we. I think we probably need to do that. I don't think that this had to get to this place. I think there are people who really believe that that these can be used as a smoking cessation device that hasn't been proven, at least for most of the organizations that I work with. But you've created such a monster with these flavored products and with the advertising to children that Juul has no choice but to remove all of their advertising. And I still don't know if it's going to do the job. I think one of the things that's really concerning is, how are we going to help all of these kids who are now addicted to nicotine quit? And we don't have a lot of great studies to show that we can make that happen, but we're certainly working to encourage pediatricians to give nicotine replacement to their teenagers, and motivational interviewing and other types of counseling that have been shown to be helpful for addictive behaviors.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydralyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. Well, that is a worry for parents. I mean, now they're addicted to something, and it's not even necessarily the nicotine right away that fast, but that behavior, sitting there studying. I know, because I watched my son do it, and it was like, mm-hmm. while he was studying, just it was something to do with your hands, and I'm like, how, stop that now, you know, because that behavior becomes so hard to change. And we yeah. know, as adults and in the health field, how hard those kinds of things are to change once they're ingrained. Now, tell us, for parents that don't know, and you mentioned that they look mm-hmm. like zip drives and that they're highly tack, mm-hmm. and, you know, how would they know if their kids are vaping? I mean, if they're smoking pot or cigarettes, you can smell it.
Yeah.
But these you
yeah.
can't always.
And, it's really hard, and I think that this goes back to having a good relationship with your kids. And, you know, a great way to start the conversation is not to ask if they're using them, but to ask if any of their friends use them. Because if their friends use them, then, of course, they're more likely to be using them anyway, and that's an entree into the discussion about the dangers of these products. I think if you start to see behaviors that are odd, so your child wakes up in the middle of the night and, you know, and sort of and sneaks outside, or you know, sneaks outside during family time. You're watching a movie and they suddenly have to leave and go to the bathroom several times. You know, you may want to sit down and have a talk with them about what's going on. Is it possible that they're vaping? And then, you know, if they're obviously if they're spending money on things and you don't know where that money is going, that's always a red flag that they may be doing something that they're trying to keep from you. But I think since these are so easy to conceal, it's really important to have that close relationship where they can be honest with you, and you can help them figure out the, you know, you had talked about the study breaks and the, you know, and what can they do with their hands aside from using a Juul. You know, what can they, you know, what can they play with? Can they get a stress ball? Is there something else? Can they get a little elastic band and snap it every time they think about using a, you know, using the Juul? Those are all little cognitive behavioral techniques that can be very helpful in these repetitive and addictive behaviors.
Wow, that's really great advice for parents to hear. So what do you see happening, Doctor? What do you, as we hear that it's going on in Washington and they're discussing it in each state, and here in Illinois they are discussing it. What do you think is going to happen? As a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics, what do you hope will happen?
So I really hope that we're able to, you know, put the genie back in the bottle and bring a scientific approach to the whole field of electronic cigarettes and vaping, where we create products that have been designed to have the least amount of harm possible and designed to be the most effective possible at helping adult smokers quit smoking, and products that are not flavored and are not marketed and so are not appealing to kids. That would be my ideal. You know, I think that adult smokers, certainly I don't want people to go back to smoking combusted tobacco if they've been able to quit using e-cigarettes, but I haven't seen the data that it's helping enough people to outweigh the extreme negative consequences we're seeing on our young people now.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and as someone who's interviewed thousands of doctors, and I can tell that some of them, the pulmonologists and the respiratory therapists at the very beginning thought, well, this is going to be a great way to help our smokers quit, but not anymore mm-hmm. now. Now, you know, now the jury is all out on that, and we're, you know, we're pretty much all looking at these stories in the media and being fearful as parents. So as we wrap up, what would you like parents to know about vaping, about what they see in the media, and about, you know, getting this quality information from an expert such as yourself and communicating with their kids? Because that's really the biggest key, isn't it?
Yeah. So lots of stuff in there as well. I think it's really important for parents to know where to go for information. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a website, the Richmond Center of Excellence, and we have a lot of information about electronic cigarettes and vaping there. Other organizations, you know, many other organizations have information about vaping, and pediatricians are starting to know more about this when parents come to them. And I think the thing that I really want to leave people with is that I think that not only is vaping itself harmful to developing lungs, but secondhand aerosol exposure from people vaping around smaller children may also be a significant source of exposure to potentially toxic chemicals for young children. We know the nicotine comes out in the aerosol. We know there are other chemicals that come out in the aerosol. And people think that this is a harmless thing to do around their kids. And, you know, certainly I don't want them smoking combusted tobacco around them. But it, please, if people are vaping and they have children in the house, do it at least in a different room, if not outside.
It's great advice. What a great segment. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise to let parents know what they're reading in the media, how to understand and sort it all out, and how to know if their kids are doing it, and if they are, how to get them to stop. That was really great advice, and thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Healthy Children. All of our experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics and their gold standard for pediatricians. That is the organization for the pediatricians, and we love our pediatricians here at Radio MD. They are really on the front lines fighting for our children, and that's what it's all about. You can listen to these shows on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeart, anywhere that podcasts are played, but we want you to listen at RadioMD.com. So for Healthy Children and Radio MD, this is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.